recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
As cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man. I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back for another episode of the Snake Pit. And of course, I could not do it without the man himself, the Hall of Famer, master of the DDT, and he was just recently on Dark Side of the Ring. It's Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, just living life, enjoying it, and enjoying the sun that we're getting.
Is it sunny down there? Because it's cold as fuck up here.
It's nice. It's nice in Georgia, man.
Man, I got to move south. I'm up here shoveling driveways and shit. I'm done with it.
You got to save your energy for shit.
Yeah. Boy, I'm in it up to my ankles here with this new kid. I was just telling you before we got started going, man, she's letting me have it pretty much every time I change her diaper. So it's just jumping right into dad life, you know?
Enjoy it while you can, man.
That's it, man. You got to take the good with the bad. So I guess things can get a little shitty along the way if they have to.
Yeah.
Well, look, what we're doing today is anything but shitty. Dark Side of the Ring just started up last week as we record this. And you were on the first episode talking about the late, great John Tenta. So I thought the timing might be right for us to take a look back at your brief, but very, very memorable feud with Earthquake. And man, I can't wait to give fans a deeper look at the story. But Jake, before we get into these notes, I did want to ask you about something else that fans really value your opinion on. You and I have talked about it a few times here on the show, and every time we do, it seems to get a big reaction. So let's do it again. The WWE Hall of Fame. Some inductees have already been announced, and I'll name those that have been selected for the honor thus far to get your thoughts. So the first one, I would guess he probably didn't have a lot of time around, Bull Nakano. Have you ever met Bull or seen her work?
Yes, I've seen her work.
And what do you think of her?
She's Bull Nakano. She don't play around, man.
Man, she is a tough cookie, and it's funny looking back at those images of her back when she was in her heyday. Like, she was big, and she had the crazy hair and the makeup and stuff, and now you see her today, and you're like, that's a beautiful woman. So she, she was a pro's pro.
Yeah, she was, man, and she certainly deserves the honor.
Next up, we've got Paul Heyman, who you did some business with on a couple of occasions back there in the 90s. Jake, what are your thoughts on Paul getting the nod?
You got to give Paul Heyman the nod, but I'm surprised they're doing it before he's out of the business.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's happening now.
Yeah, from what I've heard, Paul was one of those guys who probably wouldn't want the honor until he was out of the business because he's still kind of building his legacy as we speak.
Absolutely. That's what I don't get.
Yeah. A little strange, but let me say the next one, there's nothing too strange about this one. It makes perfect sense. We've got the U.S. Express, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, the father and uncle of Bray Wyatt, who passed away back in August. Jake, what does it mean to you to hear about a couple of your peers and guys that I know you like really well getting this incredible honor?
Well, I'm really glad that Mike and Barry are getting it. Barry, I had a long program with him in Florida way back when, and he certainly deserves the honor. And Mike, his body of work spans three decades.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to say? You know, they deserve to be in there.
Now, would you have preferred to see them go in individually? Or are you cool with the U.S. Express distinction?
I would have liked it more if they'd been individually, but U.S. Express works too.
Yeah, I don't think it's too bad. And now Barry Windham's going to be a two-time Hall of Famer because I think he was there for the Horseman thing too. So, yeah, it's, man, good for him. Well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the next one is one I'm really not sure how you're going to react to, Jake. Just yesterday as we're recording this, we got the news that your childhood idol and one-time rival, Muhammad Ali, is going to be the celebrity induction this year. Jake, I know you're not crazy about celebrities in a wrestling Hall of Fame, but what do you think about this one?
Well, Ali deserves to be in every Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, he did so much for boxing, and he's done so much in so many other avenues that it's a great pick.
Man, if you're going to have a celebrity in a Wrestling Hall of Fame, like between what he did with Inoki, with you, WrestleMania, WCW, it's like, man, it feels like Muhammad Ali and wrestling have just been hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I'm glad he's going in. And yeah, I'm glad we got your thoughts on that, Jake. I think there's still a couple more inductees here coming up, so we'll talk about them on the next episode. But let's go ahead and get into these notes, because there's a lot to discuss. And we're going to start out by talking about some stuff that was kind of happening behind the scenes in the company at the time. Ricky Steamboat is going to return to the company in March 1991, but this time he's coming in simply as the Dragon. And they aren't even acknowledging his past with the company. And now he breathes fucking fire, dude. What did you think about this situation for your old pal?
Man, I was worried about him, man. I mean, that shit ain't no game. You got to know what you're doing. You can't play around with that, you know? I mean, you can get injured. You could die doing that.
Yes.
If you inhale that shit and it blows up, guess what? Oops, you're dead.
Oh. Yeah,
praying for that.
Yeah, I know that. Didn't they bring in like a circus performer or something to teach him?
Yeah.
I mean, overall, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Why do you think they made this big change with a guy like Ricky Steamboat?
I think it's all about marketing.
Mm.
You know, they wanted something special in marketing. And a fire-breathing dragon is, that'll catch your eye.
Man, it's a hell of a spectacle. But yeah, it's the whole thing just struck me as really bizarre. But hey, man, I'm sure he made some decent money off of it. And, you know, to your point, pretty marketable. They got the action figures and shirts and stuff. And I guess it made sense on that front.
Yeah, that's where it was at.
Well, also, Jake, around this time, there's a show in Honolulu, and there will be some angry fans afterwards because Warrior is announced to the crowd as not being able to compete due to a staph infection. And they'll say that he flew home, but apparently earlier in the day, he was spotted hanging out on the beach. So, Jake, it feels like the bloom is really off the rose for Warrior in both the fans' eyes and the eyes of the office, as his title reign came to an end just a couple months earlier. Jake, what was the reaction like in the locker room when the title reign comes to an end for Warrior?
I think relief.
Yeah.
A lot of relief. You know, he was wound too tight, man. He was wound too tight.
Yeah, I've heard that he was very intense and kind of let the fame get to his head relatively quickly, right?
Yeah, overnight.
Now, I know that later this same year, 1991, you're going to have your own issue with Warrior after you do the vignettes and you've got to ask permission to work with him and all of that shit.
Yeah.
But prior to that, what were your thoughts on the guy? Like, were you around him a lot or have a lot of interactions with him?
I wasn't around him much. You know, he hung out with the gym nuts.
Mm.
You know, he only hung with a couple of people, one of them being Bulldog.
And we know you're not crazy about Bulldog.
No.
Yeah. So, okay, you hadn't really had much experience around him until now you've got to come and ask him permission later this year, and that just turns into a mess.
Yeah.
Man, it must have been difficult back in 2014. It's 10 years ago now at the Hall of Fame when you shook his hand and kind of accepted his apology. Like, was a piece of you still like wanting to say fuck you, or were you ready to put it behind you?
I was ready to fucking fight. That's what I was ready to do. I mean, he really cost me some big time money, man.
Man, it takes a hell of a guy to put that behind you, shake his hand, have a conversation with the guy. So thank goodness you did.
I'm sure glad I did, because it took the monkey off my back. And, you know, then with the events that happened right after Mania, I'm damn sure that we had it out.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into John Tenta. A few notes about him. He's a shoot sumo wrestler before he gets into pro wrestling. And he goes 21-7 as a sumo. And he stated that sumo wrestling was the most taxing thing he had ever done to his body, and now he's here in the world of pro wrestling. Jake, any chance you remember your first interactions with John?
No, I don't remember, and I wish I did. You know, he appeared to be a well-honed professional, when reality was he'd had very few matches.
Wow.
But he carried it off, man. I'm sure it has to do with his days as a sumo, but he knew how to carry himself in the locker room. And nothing but respect here. Nothing but respect.
So he knows how to carry himself in the locker room as a pro. In the ring, would you say that he was working like the classic big man style for the most part?
He did. He didn't do a lot, but what he did well.
Man, they must have trained him up pretty well for him to be able to get it that quickly. Or I don't know, maybe some guys are just made for wrestling, right?
I think the sumo had helped him an awful lot, and then whoever trained him knew what they were doing.
Well, he's going to get pushed into a big program with Hulk in May 1990. He's going to squash Hogan on the set of the Brother Love Show, kicking off their famous letter-writing campaign, which is pretty funny because the WWF used it to acquire addresses of fans who wrote to Hulk wishing him well and wanting him to return to TV. So nice little marketing idea by the WWE. He's a really young guy here, and as you've said, he's new to the business. Did you feel like he was ready for a main event role this quickly?
Yeah, he was. He carried it off, man.
Now, I know that, you know, this is the era of protecting your spot and stuff like that, and here's a young, relatively inexperienced guy coming in and getting put in a spot like that. Would you say that there was any animosity among the boys?
You know, I don't think there was. Maybe I was just blind to it. You know, that's certainly possible. But as far as I was concerned, I had no animosity towards the guy. I mean, hell, he's just another wrestler trying to make a living, man.
Yeah, how do you begrudge a guy like, hey, good for him. He gets success right out of the gate. He's not an asshole. Like, hard to not root for that guy, right?
Exactly.
You told me before how much respect you had for John and his abilities. Would you say that the two of you were friends before you even had a chance to work together?
No, not until we worked together.
Okay. So it was more like just kind of passing each other in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, we got along fine in the locker room, man. He didn't talk a whole lot.
That's kind of a pro's pro. Like, you keep your mouth shut, just go do your job, like, keep yourself out of trouble that way. And, you know, from what we saw on Dark Side of the Ring, he's a family man. So it's like, he's just trying to come out here and do a job.
Yeah, certainly was.
Well, Hulk and Earthquake are going to get a blow off at SummerSlam 1990. And I would love to get your thoughts on the finish. A lot of hype, but then Earthquake loses by count out. And Jake, I know that you're a guy who never cared about wins and losses, and a count out finish here probably feels like a letdown for fans. That being said, it keeps Earthquake from being definitively defeated. What's your take? Is it better to protect the rising star or better to give fans what they want?
I think you should give them what they want.
Have them get pinned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if Hulk can't pin him, who can? You know? And, you know, going into my program with him, it gave me hope that maybe I could pin him.
Which you would. So that is kind of an interesting way to look at it, is that Hulk didn't pin him at SummerSlam, but you come in here down the road, you actually will score some pinfall victories against him. So it helps you out.
Sure, it helped me out immensely.
If a guy like Earthquake were to get pinned by Hulk, you know, especially as he's a red hot heel, how does he keep his heat coming out of something like that, Jake?
All he's got to do is just murder somebody else.
Okay.
Or maybe even kill a snake.
But who would think that something like that would work? That's just silly.
No, that would work, would it?
I heard somebody say once that the way to keep your heat after you lose is just don't tell people that, like, act like you won afterwards. Just say, yeah, say, oh, I kicked that guy's ass at SummerSlam.
On your interviews, you never admit to losing if you're a heel.
Right. Because it just makes the fans hate you. Like, hey, I watched you lose, motherfucker.
You lying son of a bitch. I hate you. He fucking beat you.
Well, the fans are going to get a real treat with what comes next between you and Earthquake. We talked about it. After a brief cool off after his thing with Hogan, you're paired with him following WrestleMania 7. He'll cut a promo on you with Jimmy Hart before the match, and he's doing a lot of shouting, spitting, etc., all of his usual stuff, which was kind of the common practice in wrestling promos of the era. Jake, as we've discussed on a few occasions, this was certainly not your promo style, but it was the accepted standard at the time. As a guy largely considered you the best promo in wrestling history, what do you think when you see these promos from your opponents where they're just going nuts and getting all red-faced?
I think about how much easier it could have been for them and how much better it could have been.
So as you're seeing them just blowing fire and going nuts, like, are you wishing that they would be a little bit more realistic? Or are you happy that that's kind of your sole domain?
If that's what they got to do, that's what they got to do, you know, and I'm certainly not going to judge them for it. I like the more intellectual interview, but mm-hmm. can't do it. So if you can't do it, do what you can do.
I think a lot of guys get nervous on the mic too. Like, these are athletes most of the time who aren't used to doing like the public speaking thing. So it's just, you know, they start shouting.
Absolutely.
One thing that stands out with his promos that he makes a lot of earthquake type references where he's talking about shaking and trembling and shit like that. Tugboat would do the same kind of thing during his promos, which is always just ridiculous. So I'm wondering, was there somebody backstage assigned to oversee promos, like feeding them these stupid fucking lines?
You know, they may have been. There certainly may have been.
Man, like the puns and the little innuendos about like Tugboat or earthquakes and stuff. It's like, oh, geez. Going back, most of the stuff from the golden era of wrestling is like, I watch it fondly. I see that stuff, and I'm like, ew. Especially after watching one of your awesome promos, you get that weird shit. I don't know.
I just read a report that America is now in more credit card debt than ever before, more than $1.1 trillion. You know, my grandfather used to say, there's no stress like money stress, son. Well, are you feeling that right now? Let me help. You've got a friend in the mortgage business and me, and I've helped families just like yours save hundreds of dollars a month. Seriously, we've helped listeners to this podcast save up to $800 a month. At SaveWithConrad.com, we routinely help our podcast listeners consolidate all of their high interest rate credit cards into just one much lower monthly payment. Would you like to lower your monthly payments? Wouldn't it be nice to skip your next two house payments? Are you finally ready for some breathing room and peace of mind? Start saving money today with your friend in the mortgage business, me, at SaveWithConrad.com. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. And if we can't help you save some cash, we won't waste your time. You see, at SaveWithConrad.com, we don't say no. We say not yet, but here's how. We want to be your mortgage advisor for life. So find out how easy it is to finally get rid of your credit card debt once and for all, get a much lower monthly payment, and even skip your next two house payments. Let's find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 32416, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Well, let's get to the big moment. You're set for a match with John, but things don't quite go like anyone would have guessed. Let's drop in on this one.
Jimmy Hart, come on. Jimmy Hart has an attention from behind. The Earthquake attacking. Earthquake again, down into the back. Earthquake, but Jake the Snake whips him to the ring. Again, I'm not even too sure this match officially underway. Nonetheless, Earthquake. Oh, he's pulling the bag out.
But why is he doing that? He's scared of it.
I don't know. He's got Damien in the ring, but from behind again. Earthquake all over Jake the Snake Roberts. Hooking him up.
Come on, Jake.
Jake is hooked up in the rope. Get him out of there.
Come on, let's have a match. We win a match.
I think you're having one right now, Vince McMahon.
The match is still not officially underway. Jake wants to get out of the rope to have a match. Come on, let him out of there, Ralph.
Somebody ring the bell and start the match.
Start the match now, yeah. I still don't understand why he pulled Damian.
Jimmy Hart takes the referee down.
What is going on?
Well, he's not going to stand scared, Jake the Snake.
Oh, look at that. Hard right hand to the jaw.
I hear a bell.
They're trying to get some order here. The match still. Hey, what's he?
Not much chance of a DDT right now.
He just pulled Damian out to the middle of the ring.
Why?
Listen.
Did you hear that?
Earthquake hammering Jake the Snake Roberts on the side of the head. And if we heard correctly, I don't. Jimmy Hart's still holding the official now. Earthquake is going to squash this snake. Don't watch this, folks. Please don't watch it. No, he's going to die. Come on, he's going
to.
And he got off him real quick, too.
Believe it. Look at Jake.
How do you like that, Jake the Snake? Things going on there or what?
All right, so Earthquake is going to hit him another time, and then, of course, you look in the bag, and we get the big reaction from you, which is, man, it's something else. Jake, this is a moment that fans talk about all the time online, and I've heard people say that they cried, and it's really become kind of a legacy moment for yourself and John. What can you tell us about this whole thing?
Well, I will tell you this. Vince and them had come up with the idea of me being laid out on the floor.
Okay.
You know, and I disagreed with them. I said, no, man, don't leave me on the floor. Throw me in the ring and tie me up in the ropes and make me watch it happen. You know, there's nothing worse than having to watch your love be trashed or trampled or squashed, you know, and you can't do a damn thing about it. So that was the point that I wanted. And I knew that I could carry off the facials and the stuff, like when I looked in the bag and I recoiled from, you know, the horrible sight that I saw. You know, just a bit of acting on my part.
Yep. Man, it was something else. You know, it's Jake, you up to this point have established yourself as a guy who is the one terrorizing people, not the one who gets terrorized. And now you've got to kind of flip things. And man, that, like, the emotional look on your face that we just saw there is just, it's incredible kind of acting. What can you tell us about getting yourself in that kind of headspace to create such realistic emotional response like that?
For me, all you have to do is believe. You know, put yourself in that spot and believe it. And then you get the natural emotions. Then with the emotions comes the facials and the body recoiling and all that. You know, but the big thing was the snake didn't get hurt because snake in the bag. What there was in the bag was a pair of pantyhose filled with hamburger meat. Washed it, there'd be blood come out.
Now, did the bag leak that hamburger juice?
Yeah, it leaked the blood. You know, we had to have somebody from the RSPCA there to check the snake, because we can't be abusing animals and shit on air.
Right.
And I remember it was a woman. And after we showed her what we'd done, she looked at me and said, "You're a bastard." Why? She goes, "Look at those kids crying." She goes, "I was crying." I said, "Well, then I did my job right."
Dude, like, let's for perspective for the fans, let's talk about the like the calendar year that you've had. You know, in late 1990 is when you get sprayed by Arrogance, and then you go into this thing with Martel, and you guys have that iconic blindfold match. Right after that, you get John Tenta. After that, you're gonna do your thing with the Warrior. Then it's Savage. I mean, like, dude, an incredible, incredible calendar year for you. I mean, this has got to be some of the best creative you've ever had in your career to this point, right?
Absolutely. I was red hot.
Yes, you were, which it makes it even more crazy that by April the following year, you're gone from the company. Like, man, Vince McMahon, you would think that he would say, like, hey, look, whatever amount of money you need, I need you to stay around here because, like, it's just one great storyline after another.
He didn't counter with anything.
Well, look, you've told the story before, but let's go ahead and hit it for those who might be new. What can you tell us about John's in-ring work as compared to somebody like Rick Martel, who you're just coming out of a program with?
It's completely different, you know, a different style, a different everything, you know, and I'll just say that I was shocked to hear how long John had been in the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just blown away because I would have never guessed it in a million years. That's how good he was.
I mean, he is coming from this rough combat sport, sumo. Would you say that he was a little bit snug in the ring or pretty light?
No, he wasn't snug. He was fine.
Wow. A guy that size, that new to wrestling, like, I don't think he gets said often enough. Like, what a great worker that takes.
He was a great worker.
Now, I know that you're having some neck issues in the coming months here, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but did you feel like your neck issues were negatively impacting your work in these matches at all?
Oh, yeah. My neck problems, man, they were well documented. It held me back a lot. But working with John didn't hurt me.
You know, a lot of fans have asked about you taking his finish where he hits you with his sit-down splash. Yeah. Jake, what was it like taking that move from a huge guy like John?
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. But once again, he was the ultimate professional. He protected me.
Man, unbelievable. Have you ever worked with a better big man than John, would you say?
No.
Never.
No.
Can't be. Well, I've also got to ask this while we're here. We saw that really visceral reaction from you. I know that you do not like snakes, but you saw the money in making opportunity and carrying one to the ring. They're also a huge hassle for you to travel with. They're exhausting for you to carry after a match.
The problems I had on the road with that damn snake.
It had to be miserable, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'd have to wake up in the middle of the night and go pee or something, you know, and I'd go into the bathroom and there's a snake, you know, and it's kind of hard to pull your junk out in front of a 15-foot pipe. Really is. That's how I learned how to piss in beer bottles.
I don't blame you a bit. Like, I can't imagine, like, because we've all had that moment where you're tired, you wake up in the middle of the night and you got to take a shit or something. You go into the bathroom while it's dark and you sit down. Like, imagine doing that and with the fear of, like, hey, wait, is that snake still in the bathtub or is it coming around?
So, he wasn't in a bathtub, though. It'd be somewhere on the floor.
Oh, just the bathroom floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to step over it with piss or something, you know? I just didn't feel comfortable pulling my junk out, you know? I mean, my dick looks like a mouse, so I can't help
it. Next to that, absolutely. I see you looking off screen. Is Cheryl here in these comments?
Yeah, she's over there in her head.
Did you ever have a hard time finding the snake in the morning if you're just leaving it on the floor?
No.
No, it was always just there.
In the bathroom.
I know they can get in weird, like, tiny spaces at times, so it's, you know, you're fortunate. All that hassle with the snake, Jake, would you say that you had any actual real emotional attachment to these snakes?
No, not at all. No.
Just speaks to your acting there. Like, you look like somebody who just had their pet crushed, and in reality, it's like, you hate these fucking things.
Getting this flushed didn't bother me at all.
Well, Following the death of Damian, you're going to make the switch to his big brother, Lucifer. Because this was Damian's big brother, does that mean that this damn snake weighed even more than the ones you had before?
Yep.
Safe to assume it wasn't your idea to move that direction?
It was, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're there with your neck issues. You already don't like traveling with a snake, but you're enough of a pro that you're like, I need this snake to be larger.
Yep.
Good on you, man. Later this year, you're going to make the switch to the much smaller Cobra. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you made that request after lugging around this big snake.
Oh, God, yeah. The Cobra weighed about 15 pounds.
Oh, my God. That had to be such a relief.
Oh, it was like carrying nothing.
Well, the angle gets turned up a notch when Earthquake comes on Primetime Wrestling. Let's go ahead and have a look at this stuff.
I know it's a snake skinny game, but what'd you do with the inside, all that guts? Did you
You're eating it.
Ground it up, or did it get ground round? Not too bad, but really not too good.
Oh, pretty soon, I don't want to offend you.
Pretty soon you're going to get the desire to crawl under a bush and lay in the lawn for a while, McMahon.
What are you trying to say?
That's what you're eating, Bobby.
What do you think I'm trying to say, dummy?
This is good hamburger.
It's very nice, Bobby. I like it. What are you trying to say?
You can either eat these or make a pair of shoes out of them.
Do you find that humorous? Is this honest to God what you claim it is?
This is my Quake burger. That's all I gotta say.
What does Quake rhyme with?
I don't think this is funny at all. I don't think this is funny.
I only make these once in a while, Vince.
But yeah, I hear you may be making another batch for us soon. Beautiful English manners.
That's a snake.
What?
That's a snake you were alluding to.
Now you got it, Lamy. Now you got it.
That's terrible. I've consumed part of that too. How repulsive.
You guys are.
Well, I was been eating already, or maybe it's just the eye.
This is disgusting. You're a disgusting human being.
Oh, come on.
No, both of you are absolutely disgusting.
Have take some
a
fun.
Fat like Damien, and this is what you do? You bring his skin out earlier on, you bring this out, you think this is funny, you've been cooking, you think this is funny?
I gotta eat.
Boy.
Man, Vince says bullshit on the air. They have to bleep it out. That is some good stuff. What did you think, Jake?
Oh, that was pretty good. That's the first time I've seen that.
You've never seen the Quake Burgers thing?
No.
Wow. How about that? So first time seeing it, you don't think it's a little bit too much of like the ha-ha? It's good heat, in your opinion?
Nice good heat.
I think so too. And man, it's again, when people reference this, they always talk about the Quake Burgers. They did like a parody of it on Young Rock. So like it's something that resonated with fans all these many, many years later. And you guys are continuing down the road here. You're going to start doing the house show loop with Quake, and he'll get the DQ victory in most of them when you attempt to attack him with Lucifer. And Andre is going to be in your corner for some of these shows. Do you recall why they would have decided to put you with Andre as a manager?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's a lot of like promos with the two of you and Andre together, and you guys are making the towns, and he's helping out. I think they may have been angling toward him working with Earthquake, because why else would they put him with you, right?
Yeah, that'd be the only reason.
Did you feel like Andre would be, obviously you don't really remember him being your manager, but do you feel like them putting him in that position would be like a distraction at ringside, or is it just never a bad thing to have Andre there?
Yeah, I think it'd be a distraction, definitely. I mean, and it puts him in a bad spot, too.
How's it bad for Andre?
Well, because he'll allow me to get the shit kicked out of me. Not do anything.
The point being that you as the baby face against this monster heel, you're going to be spending most of the match selling, and then there's Andre just standing there with his dick in his hand at ringside, right?
Exactly.
Got it. See, I hadn't even considered that angle of it, but you're right. That would paint Andre in a bad light.
Oh, man, people would have been pelting him with all sorts of shit.
Yeah, like, get in there, Andre. He's right there. Help him. Now, we know that Andre's physical condition was not great. Do you feel like, I mean, if they're angling toward him in Earthquake 1991, did you feel like he was in any condition to perform?
He could still do what he needed to do.
Okay.
You know, Andre was such a unique, one-of-a-kind individual, you know?
He certainly was that. And based on what you're telling me about John, it sounds like John could have really helped him out and carried the matches.
Oh, yeah. He could have carried it for him.
We mentioned before that you'll re-aggravate your neck injury at this time, and you're going to have to miss the planned blow-off at WrestleFest 1991 in Busch Stadium on July 14th. But you will defeat Earthquake at Madison Square Garden on July 1st. And I've heard a lot of fans today say that they view that as the kind of official blow-off between the two of you, even though it wasn't live. Jake, SummerSlam is just around the corner at this time, and it's going to mark a big heel turn for you as you crash the wedding for Randy and Liz. But if it was up to you, would you have worked against Earthquake at SummerSlam instead and turned heel afterward, or are you glad it turned out the way it did?
I'm glad it turned out the way it did. It was good to move on.
Yeah, I think that fans like to put a big bow on things and see like that pay-per-view victory for the babyface, but it doesn't always work that way, right?
No, you can't do it sometimes. Just can't do it.
If you do it every time, it becomes a little bit too predictable, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Up to you, anything you do differently overall in this feud with John?
No. No, everything with John was excellent work. Solid stuff. No silliness. Just two pros in there doing it, man.
Couldn't agree more. Let's hit some quick fan questions and we'll wrap this one up. Yambag Jones, shit disturber of ad-free shows, says, people say Yokozuna had different ways of working the bonsai drop for people he liked or didn't like. Did Earthquake have any way to control how much of his ass landed on an opponent, whether he liked him or not?
I don't know that he did that. You know, I don't think he would do that. He's a different type guy.
He sounds like a pro's pro, and based on what I've heard about him, I don't think he would do shit like that. He also asks, what kind of thoughts ran through your head before he landed on you?
My life.
Man, just him stomping around the person who's down, like, that would make me uncomfortable. Like, this motherfucker's going to stomp on me by accident.
Yeah.
Joey Griver asks, Jake, have you ever tasted snake, thinking about the Quake Burger thing?
Yeah, I've eaten rattlesnake before.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah, it's good.
What does it taste like?
Tastes like chicken.
No shit.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
There you have it, folks. Jake Roberts has actually eaten snake before. All right, that's going to wrap us up this week, Jake. Next week, we are back in action with one of your favorites. We're taking fan questions again, brother. Right. Yep, another edition of Ask Jake Anything. We love doing those, right?
Yep, absolutely, man. Can't wait.
Okay, everybody, just want to remind you all before we go that if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, you've got to hit advertisewithsnake.com. Jake is an absolute legend. He's still on TV. He was just with ROH. He's still out meeting and talking to fans all the time, and you can get him to put over your stuff to that exact demographic that you're targeting. Hey, look, if you want some proof that it works, just listen to the show. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they find out very quickly that what we do here works. Head over to advertisewithsnake.com. Get teamed up with the Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. JakeTheSnakeShop.com has got all kinds of great collectibles straight from the man himself. Hey, look, if you're feeling a little lonely after Valentine's Day, why don't you get yourself a Jake wrestling buddy, a new buddy? Come on. And it's signed by Jake himself. It's a cool throwback to one of your favorite toys from your childhood, except this time, instead of taking your ass over to Toys R Us, you can get it shipped straight to you from Jake the Snake. Go right now. It's JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Pick yours up today. Cameo.com/JakeSnake is your destination if you want a personal message, a promo, a birthday wish, a roast, or just want to say hi to the legendary Jake Roberts. We've got a recent review from a purchaser whose name is actually Jake. Thanks, Jake. You did a great job, and I appreciate the personal touch to make the message special. A cameo from Jake is great for seriously any occasion. Jake loves doing these. He loves having the chance to interact with his fans. And if you're a lifelong fan, you've got to check this out. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Go and order yours right now. That cold weather is starting to fade, and that means it's nearly tank top and short season. We've got you covered on both fronts on the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. You've got to check out this awesome vintage-style merch that acts as a love letter to those fans of the 80s and 90s wrestling like myself. We've got the old-school Jake Roberts tank top. We've got the classic ice cream bar tank top, WrestleFest-inspired shorts, and you could match that ice cream tank top with a pair of shorts with that same design. Get some great clothes, support our podcast, and greet summer in style. Again, it's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@SnakePitPod. We've got short clips from the show. We've got some highlights. We've got some exclusive content. We are getting closer and closer all the time to that 30,000 follower mark. And we are far from done. We want to grow that channel in leaps and bounds every single month. When we hit 30,000, though, we're going to celebrate with a huge giveaway that I guarantee fans of Jake are going to be absolutely psyched about. Don't miss out on your chance to win the giveaway, and don't miss all the great content we have on our YouTube page. Get subscribed today. Again, it's youtube.com/@SnakePitPod. Speaking of YouTube, if you like what we're doing here on the Snake Pit, you've got to get subscribed to the Everybody's Got a Pod YouTube page too. Both Ted DiBiase and Hacksaw Jim Duggan are part of the page contributing original content, and you don't want to miss out on these unique Hall of Fame stories. The only place to get new episodes of Jim's podcast, The Hacksaw Hour, is on our YouTube page, and we have a new episode coming out this week, so stay tuned for that. Jim is always providing videos of his day-to-day activities as well, and man, they're an absolute blast. Seriously, there's such great content over there. Go and check it out. Go and get subscribed. It's youtube.com/@EverybodysGotAPod. If you've enjoyed the Snake Pit, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all platforms. Helps Jake and I out a whole bunch. Plus, only takes you a second, and it's a great way to support our show. And just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all the other shows in our network, ad-free shows, early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. And it starts at just $9 a month. Pretty damn affordable. It's less than 15 cents an episode each month. Plus, tons of bonus content. You've got interactive chats with your favorite hosts and wrestling personalities and much more. Ad-free shows has added the Beyond Nitro with Guy Evans, where he's looking back at all the key elements, themes, and stories discussed in his Nitro book that has gained incredible popularity. And let me tell you guys, if you love the Monday Night Wars era of wrestling, you are going to want to check this one out. Also, come on, we got Tuesdays with the Taskmaster with Kevin Sullivan, Lex Express with Lex Luger, the Monday Mailbag with Mike Chioda. We also added Enter Sandman with the Sandman from ECW, so that's a must here for the old school ECW fans, and so much more there. Get over there right now, sign up, because if you are not a part of the Ad-Free Shows family, you are seriously missing out. It's adfreeshows.com. Catch Jake on X at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on X, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Man, what an absolute blast looking back at this really iconic part of Jake the Snake's career. And it's a program that I honestly thought lasted longer, relatively short period of time, and then Jake is starting to make that transition to the heel Jake that we all came to know and love in 1991. Thank you guys for coming along for the ride, and we will see you next time right here on the Snake Pit.